church. I do that, right. And by the way, I don't think I'm going to do these pages either. We'll see. We'll see when we get there. Yeah, this was actually kind of fun stuff, but nah, I'm not going to do it. My mom's 98 today. It's her birthday. We're going in after church and spend some time with my mom. And we won't be there real long, and by tonight she won't know we were there. She's in a period of her life where moments in time no longer connect. And you know, I think about what I'm preaching about today is similar to what I preached about a few weeks ago when my topic was in Jeremiah, the plans I have for you. I'm going to go over a little bit of that this morning and then connect it with Jonah, who was a really different kind of prophet altogether. Different plan response, different execution. We kind of know that story of Jonah, don't we? But my mom, going back to my mom, I think the plan for her, in her mind, was she's going to be a musician. And she was a pretty talented musician. She was pretty young, and she was singing on Moody, and that was a big deal. I mean, that was kind of the only game in town at the time of back in the, when would that be, in the 30s? Not a lot of Christian radio other than WMBI. So she was doing that, and she was going to Moody, and then she had a scholarship to go to Wheaton College in music. Now, how cool is that? Well, she couldn't go because evidently not part of the plan. She had a problem, respiratory problems, and the doctor said, "No, that's you really are kind of frail, and you shouldn't do that. You should stay home." And their parents were fine with that because they needed her income. It was the 30s. It was a depression, and so they needed her to go to work. So her dreams were like, you know, and now this is the plan. So she was kind of bummed out by that, of course. And so instead she got married and had 6 kids. You know, it didn't happen quite that quickly, but, you know, how rapid things happen. All of a sudden you've got a family of 6, and she was still singing in church and doing stuff like that. And, of course, the respiratory problems that were supposed to, you know, she was supposed to be frail and not. So, you know, now she's 98. Of course, that doctor's long gone. But, you know, I know the plans I have for you. That's what God told Jeremiah to tell Israel. I know the plans I have for you. And what did you just say? You're perfect in all your ways. So the plan is perfect. It just doesn't seem very perfect. It just seems like a lousy plan, actually. Nathan's got a big smile. What are you thinking, right? Yeah, sometimes it doesn't seem like a very good plan. Here's a passage that we read last a couple weeks ago. "For I know the plans I have for you." By the way, I have this on the wall of my office. Actually, it's in the doorway. Every day I walk in, that's the verse I see. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. It's not a part-time thing. It's not like, well, occasionally I read a scripture verse and I meditate on it. Well, I don't really have time to meditate on it, but I kind of read it. Well, I kind of read it. Actually, I see it. You know, it's not that kind of an experience. It's searching for God with all your heart. So this is what I preached on last time. God knows your destiny before you were born. So even before you were born, God has the plan. It's this perfect plan. And it's very specialized. It's your destiny. And the plan is to prosper you. And the way he does that with us is he gives us these wonderful fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, all the things that make life in all its anxieties really kind of wonderful. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control gives us these abilities, gifts, whatever they are. We have this. What a wonderful life. Who would pass up a life that had that in it? So plans of a hope and a future doesn't always tell what the future is. Just gives us the hope. Plans to fellowship with us, to know us. We can know him. We can talk with him. We can get a sense of direction in our lives. He gives us peace. What a deal. Plans to listen. Plans to communicate. Not just a one-sided thing. We can talk with him. Walk with him. Listen to him. He guides us. He helps us. He gives us strength. He gives us courage. He gives us the word. You all see this, right? See? Is there another? You recognize this any better? But the plan is to be in God's presence now and ultimately. I mean, what a deal is that? But then, do I want to say the devil is in the details? But the devil is in the details, constantly trying to move us away from that vision, constantly trying us to think otherwise, constantly saying you don't deserve this, constantly saying you're not going to get it. Okay, now we go to Jonah. Jonah just like, you got to be kidding. I say this and I repeat it over and over, but I feel sorry for Bible characters. You know, the most embarrassing things that happen in your life, you want them written in a book for people to read for thousands of years? So here's Jonah. Now the great thing about all these watches and all these things, you used to have a watch and you set it there and there's the time. And now it shuts off in 4 seconds. And then you have to have a password to get it back on, which makes you look like a fool when you're standing in front of even 20 people, right? I used to say a lot, and I don't say it as much anymore, but you probably heard me say, I don't mind being stupid, it's looking stupid that bothers me. So here's Jonah. And I won't read all of Jonah, but I can tell you because I have Jonah on my phone. I've got the whole Bible on my phone, so it's 75 hours of reading on my phone. And I can tell you how many minutes Jonah is. It's about 7 minutes and 12 seconds, give or take. But if I speed it up, it's faster than that even. You know, so, wow. So, you can read Jonah yourself at some point if you have an extra 7 minutes and 12 seconds somewhere. But I know you're awfully busy. I know you guys wouldn't have 7 minutes to spare somewhere, would you? You're looking at me like, no. Okay. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Good plan. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the seas, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "Why, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And then they said to him, "Tell us whose account this evil has come upon us. Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? Where is your country? And what people are you?" Lots of questions. And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. You know, it's one thing to have a stupid plan, but then to share the stupid plan with other people. "Oh, by the way, I'm just here fleeing the presence of God. Don't mind me, I'll be asleep down below." Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" And the plan only gets better here. For the sea grew more and more tempestuous, and he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, and then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." And they said, "Great idea." No, I mean, here's where you want to have a little bit more. They looked at each other and said, "This guy is really stupid." Because here's what they did. They said, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord," because they're not going to talk to the crazy guy, right? "So they called out to the Lord, 'O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.'" So they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. So it was a good plan. It just sounded stupid on Jonah's part. Now, could you imagine if, you know, something bad was happening in the church and I came up and said, "I've got a plan. Throw me out into the street." And you'd say, "Good idea. That'll fix everything." Yeah. So, but the one positive here, it says, "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows." So they became believers out of this crazy thing. What a mess. What a mess. And then the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And that's, of course, all we ever know about Jonah is, "Oh, they say he was swallowed by a fish. I don't believe that. That's stupid." You know, I mean, there's songs written about that. Gershwin wrote a song about that. I'd play it, but don't have it right here with me. But, yeah, it ain't necessarily so. Stories that you read in the Bible, they ain't necessarily so. It's in Porgy and Bess. And part of it's the Jonah story. Yeah. So, then I'm not going to go into Jonah's prayer, but Jonah's prayer is highly manipulative. know, there's no atheists in foxholes or in bellies of fish, evidently. Because he's making all these promises. Lord, you know, I'm dying. Because he's thinking he's dying. What else could you be thinking if you're swallowed by a fish and you're going down in the water? Because this is way before submarines. This is way before any of that kind of thinking's going on. So he thinks he's dying, right? So his last ditch effort is this prayer that's here. And at the end of the prayer, he says, when my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord. You know, I'm remembering you now, God. My life is, I'm remembering you. But I, with voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you, which I have vowed, I will pay. What I have vowed, I will pay. You know, he's making this deal with God. And if you've ever made a deal with God, you know, these are kind of the things you say. And then he says, salvation belongs to the Lord. Well, see, that's why God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh in the first place, because salvation belongs to the Lord. I mean, that was kind of the point. So God is like, yeah, he gets it. I still don't have much to work with him, but he gets it. I'll give him a second chance. And I love this. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. I love the word that, you know, could have said, and it placed Jonah. It, you know, vomit sounds kind of gross, and I'm sure it was much worse than what it sounds like even. And that was a little bit of Jonah's penalty. You know, well, part of your penalty is I'm going to reduce you to fish vomit. That sounds really horrible, doesn't it? It's hard for me to believe that I'm even saying that here in the pulpit. But it says it right here in the Word. Just preaching the Word, friends. Then the word came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. Sounds a lot like the old plan, doesn't it? Before that end around that Jonah did, or end under, or whatever. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth, so it's miles across. Great big place. Jonah began to go into the city. He went a day in, and he calls out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's his message. Not real complex. That's his message. And he's going around telling this to everybody who will listen. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. And the king led the charge. The king said, I want everybody doing this, even the animals, everything. I want us to show God that we mean business. We're listening. We're all ears here. We're going to do what you say. We're sorry. And they show all the signs of repentance. And what does God do? He wipes them all out anyway. No, he doesn't. No. Just checking to see if you're listening. No, he forgives them. And Jonah says, God, that's the thing I love about you. You're so merciful. Do you remember that part of the story? No. So what does Jonah do? Jonah says, that's exactly what I said would happen. They don't deserve to be forgiven, as if Jonah did. I love this story. Because even to the end, Jonah's just a jerk. To the very end of the story. There's never any redeeming quality about this guy other than, well, okay, I'm going to manipulate everybody around me. Then I'm going to say this prayer that's kind of, it's a really good prayer. Because Jonah's right in the story here. So he wants to feature the prayer, right? And then God is merciful beyond imagination. And Jonah's mad about it. And that's how it ends. And then there's this thing about it. Jonah goes off and sulks. And then there's this weed that kind of grows up and gives him a little shade because it's in a really hot spot. And then this worm, God brings this worm to kill the tree, this bush that's grown up to give him a little bit of relief. And so then he's really, really bent out of shape and really feeling sorry for himself. And then God says, oh, you're all upset about this worm in this bush. And I'm not supposed to be upset about the possibility of 120,000 people perishing without me? Huh? And that's how the story ends. I love that story. You just got to shake your head sometimes. Sometimes you're just embarrassing yourself in front of people. And you don't even know it. I think Jonah wrote this. As bad as he looks in this, he kind of tries to, and God puts it in Scripture to be read for thousands of years. But what's the plot line here? Because it is really kind of an upside down kind of book. There aren't very many passages in Scripture that are this dark. And Jesus talks about Jonah. Jesus references Jonah as a real person. I think that's how it got to be part of the Bible. Is Jesus talking about Jonah, you're going to be pretty sure Jonah is going to end up, in the 76 books. So what's the plot line here? What's the point of this? Other than being a really unusual story that, that Gershwin writes a kind of silly song about in Porgy and Bess. One person I was reading other people's sermons and other people, commentaries, and one person said it's about obedience. I'm like, well, I don't know. Was he ever really obedient? He kind of was manipulative, but was he really obedient? Because I think of obedience as a matter of the heart. You're obedient. That's a heartfelt place you go with God, and you're going to do what God wants. He never wanted to do what God wanted. He wanted to get out of tough situations, but he never wanted to do what God wanted. And then when God did something really spectacular, he got mad. So I don't know if it was about obedience. I suppose you could go there. I think it was about a plan that God had that Jonah, as hard as he tried, could not screw up. God is all powerful. God is all merciful. God is all loving. God will see you through and bless his heart, as nasty a person as Jonah was, God still had mercy on him. Because what a nasty guy. I'm not going to Nineveh. You're going to forgive those people. I want them all slaughtered. What kind of guy would say that? Jonah is a prophet. God's all powerful. God's all loving. God's omniscient. God has a plan. God's plan makes sense even in the middle of it. Sometimes it seems like lunacy. You look around the world and see what's going on, it looks insane. Part of God's plan is you have choices. You can have those choices and see where they go. See what the consequences of your choices are and live those consequences. That's what he did with Jonah. Okay, you want to go. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. You know, I'm going to respond because I've got a plan. So you want to go and go the opposite direction. We'll see how that goes for you. But I have a plan, and the plan's going to happen. So what does that mean to us? You're part of a plan. You're believers. You know, the Lord revealed himself to you in a very specific way through Jesus Christ. And you can decide, well, okay, I believe that. And then you're a Christian. And then be Jonah. Be crabby about the details. How often are we in that situation where we're crabby about the details? I'm there a lot. I've been there all week. That's why I'm preaching on this, folks. So Ben got a new job. How cool is that? He left about $400 in his old job because he didn't bother to go back to it. He kind of abandoned that job. Well, they didn't pay him the last $400 or so, but he's got a new job. Yay! 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 One day, the first day after, I get a call. He lied to me. He said I wasn't going to be working nights. I'm working nights. I can't work nights. That's why I left my other job. I was all by myself. I got to be with other people. Now I'm on nights, and I'm not going to do this. Excuse me? What? Okay, you left your other job, and then, yeah, it's, you know, I always think, just as a parent, every time he leaves a job, it costs me some money. And he says, it's always about money. I said, well, no, that's not the only thing it's about, but that's kind of a practical detail. And so I just assume that, okay, he's getting into another situation, and it's like full time, and that's cool. Because he hasn't had a full time job for a long time, and one day in, he wants to quit. Bad plan. I said, what about the plan? What about you're going over there and this is going to be better and you're going to be working full time and you're going to be doing something where you really kind of have a pretty... He's working in a halfway house. And he's working with addicts. And I'm like, well, that's right down your line. And you know, he's... By the way, this week he's celebrating 5 years of sobriety. I mean, that's great news. This is great news. But Satan just tries to... Oh, my gosh. So, he's staying in the job. He's still there. But after one day, he wanted to quit. Bad plan. Where's the plan? This doesn't make any sense. Somebody lied to me. It's not the way I thought it was going to be. Doesn't it sound... I'm being hard on him, but I've thought that so many times in my life about different situations I was in. You promised me this, and I got this, and this happened, and that's not fair. But it's part of the plan. Whenever you get into this situation where it's not fair and it doesn't seem right and somebody lied to you, what do you learn from that? Why would that be part of the plan? What can you get out of that? How can that make you go forward wiser? Did God forget that part? Did God go on vacation during that time? No, God is with you every step of the way, no matter how cruddy you feel. Even if you're fish vomit, God is there with you. Now, I want you to remember that all week. If you take one thing away, even if you're part of a fish vomit, God is with you. But haven't you felt worse than that in your life? Yeah, worse than fish vomit. But God's still with you. Part of the plan. It's a yucky part of the plan. But it's part of the plan. It's going somewhere, and it's going... What was the line? You're perfect in all your ways. Dear Lord, thank you that you are perfect in all your ways. Help us to remember it. Help us to remember it during the times that are so difficult, that you do walk with us, that you do give us strength, that you do give us wisdom, that you do watch over us, that you do help us, that everything we need, everything we'll ever need, comes from your hand, and you give it. Every perfect gift comes from you. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you that you have gifted us in so many ways, ways to serve you, all of that which is part of the plan. In Jesus' name, amen.